Welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus, where usually we'd have a bunch of us, and today we do, but it's just a whole different bunch. So I'm here, Bridget Riedel, your Ag Director, and I get joined by my fill-in co-host today, and she is doing an awesome job because she just stepped up when I sent her a message this morning and said, are you busy from 1 to 2 o'clock? So Marcia Van Leer, how are you?
I am good. I am enjoying this beautiful fall weather that we're having.
Okay, what a lead in, because I have the weather notes here for us. And where Fargo is sitting, 63 degrees, going for a high of 68. Are you going to get that much nice weather in Grand Forks County today?
You know, I don't know. I'm sitting in the office at the moment and doesn't seem to be a lot of wind, and it was very comfortable when I was outside letting the dogs out this morning, so I'm all good.
Excellent. So word on the street is, from our weather folks, today is the pick day of the week, which still doesn't look too bad if we're looking at Thursday being the coolest day, still coming in at 46, so not record warmth, but there's a storm system that's coming in Tuesday to Wednesday that has a 60% chance of rain and or snow. I don't know about you, Marcia. We've been in ag long enough. Do we're hoping there's some moisture, but even if it's snow, it's not going to last that long. I mean, I'm sure soil temps near you have, as well as myself, have been nice and warm.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I haven't looked at soil temps lately, but just, you know, the black ground and we get any type of sunlight, that snow is not going to stick around. I mean, here we are, the end of October, and it's, like you said, 60 degrees. I think right now it's 58 degrees outside out here. I mean, snow is not going to stick around, but we'll take any type of moisture we can get.
Okay, so Marcia and I both have a lot of years in the ag industry. And when just last week I was talking on air about fall weed control and why we got to wait for soil temps to, you know, to hit the right timing below 50 degrees, et cetera. As someone who's worked as an agronomist for years, even besides soil temps, what else worries you about this dry weather if we're trying to do some fall weed control for the spring season of 2025?
Well, the one thing that really concerns me is we need the moisture to make some of these pre's work. So if we don't get the moisture this fall, we don't get snow this winter, you know, do we have another year like we had this past spring where it was really wet and they basically got washed away? I mean, that's one of the biggest keys. The other thing is how these fields work out. You know, I was just on the phone with a grower earlier this morning about using Fargo, and, you know, he was concerned that his fields are too wet in the spring, so he wants to use fall Fargo now. Perfect, get at it, but he was wondering about incorporation.
Okay, hold on.
So it's like,
you said Fargo, but some of the audience is like, well, what's Fargo? Because even some of our younger farmers aren't familiar with that name as a herbicide. So, Marcia, you're going to have to help me out and make sure we can explain this.
Okay. So, Fargo is a liquid herbicide that we put down to control mainly wild oats. It does control some Broma species, but it is a wild oat control herbicide only in our area. We have, you know, resistance to wild oats big time in the area. And Fargo is just one of those tools that we're using because everything else is not working very well.
Right. And it's not new. We've used Fargo back in the 80s, frequently into the 90s. So you're bringing what's old is new again.
Fargo is literally older than us. It was, I believe it was synthesized back in the 50s.
But it still works for weed control.
It
for
does.
What we need, particularly for you, north of Highway 2 is that area that has the worst resistance to wild oats. So that's probably where you're seeing it being applied most frequently?
So, for us, actually, if you take basically like Hillsborough or Grand Forks and do a V across northern Minnesota, northern North Dakota, Montana, up into Canada, it is, you know, up in Canada, they have over 1 million pounds of dry Fargo on the ground already. That's just crazy. Wow.
Okay, let's put that in treated acres. If you're using 1 million pounds, how many treated acres do we have on the ground? Because I don't remember the rate of Fargo, but I know you do. I'm sorry, I didn't tell you about math today.
I don't math. Handy dandy calculator.
Yes, I think that's best. And did you
that's over,
find your
that's,
favorite number?
That is over 80,000 acres of treated product if they're using the 12.5 pound rate.
Okay. And
if they're using the 10 pound rate, that's 100,000 acres already treated.
And the reason I'm smiling at that is because we have to do different things for weed control. And the fact that folks recognize that to the tune of 80 to 100,000 acres is impressive. I'm very glad that that's being done. Makes a difference come spring when things warm up.
The conversation I had with the grower today, you know, he's like, we don't have a choice. We're having issues. We need to do something. So they're going to go out and treat roughly about 100, 120 acres, which is great because we know that it's not something that's financially feasible to treat a whole farm. So take that, you know, 20% of your acres, spread that cost across the whole farm. We're going to do 20% this fall. We're going to do 20% next fall, 20%, you know, next 5 years, basically. And in 5 years, you're going to have 100% of your acres covered at least once. And that's really what we need to do to keep these old chemistries viable.
Absolutely. Okay. For folks who are listening and you're thinking, hold on, I hear different voices today. You do. I'm here as Ag Director. I have a fill-in guest host today, and that's Marcia Van Leer because Dean couldn't join us today. So Marcia is a Ag Chem professional here in the region. She works for Gowan Company, and thankfully they have been a wonderful sponsor for us for our Here We Grow project, custom farming 20 acres of corn. Marcia's going to help me talk through all sorts of headlines today. We have a guest who's coming up, and we're going to continue that conversation about our headlines, our guests, and we'll probably touch on the weather because I guess we're the fill-in weather girls today for Dean. So we will do all of that and so much more. Stick with us. We'll be back. And welcome back to this Monday edition of Weather and Ag in Focus here on WDAY. We're really glad you're joining us. And it's me, your Ag Director, Bridget, but also I get the pleasure of having a guest host with me today, and that's Marcia Van Leer. She's filling in for Dean Wysocki, who couldn't join us. And Marcia, as always, thanks for answering the call to talk about ag. I really appreciate it.
Not a problem. I would just don't make me do the weather, please, because I don't want to be held to it.
It's no problem. So, Marcia, I do want to make sure, as one of our Here We Grow sponsors, and again, that's our 20 acres of custom farmed corn near Glinda, Minnesota, you were part of that as Gowan Company. We also had seed that came through Dairyland Seed. We really appreciate Dairyland bringing us such a quality corn hybrid. I know what our yield was. Some people have watched our video series on YouTube and Facebook, and they may have heard an inkling of what our yield was, but I will officially announce that on November 13th. So mark your calendars. Marcia, that's the day we're going to announce the yield, and we're also going to make sure to present our profits to Farm Rescue, who do great work here in the region. And additionally, we had help from Ellingson Drainage. Ellingson made sure that we did not have additional surface water on that field, especially in that late May, early June timeframe when so much rainfall was happening, which you and I just discussed. We wouldn't mind seeing a little bit of rain this fall so we don't have to go through that quite again next spring. That would be helpful. So also, yes. I have one other person to say thank you to, and that's the Great Harvest Bread Company. Marcia and I have a tendency to get together in Fargo and have lunch. And I think one of the places we might have to try is Great Harvest Bread. They do a fantastic job here in the region. If you are looking to have food for meetings, takeout for the field, Also, they just have regular specials on bread, scones, cookies. They do a fabulous job. So, Marcia, if you've got any grower meetings coming up, I might recommend Great Harvest Bread as a place for you to source some of your goodies. Just an idea.
You know what? As a farm girl, I'm all over that.
And they get their, they stone grind their own flour. So I think that's a plus as well. We also have joining Marcia and I today our guest, and that is Dr. Sean Brotherson. He is with NDSU, and Dr. Brotherson works specifically with folks in the mental health realm. So Dr. Brotherson, would you care to introduce yourself and what's going on over at NDSU in your area of expertise?
Yeah, happy to do it, Bridget, and good to be with both of you. Yeah, I work as the Extension Family Science Specialist with NDSU. I've been in that role for 26 years, and actually the very first issue I was asked to address was mental health and wellness in agriculture back in 1998, and that continues to be a theme of my work and of what we need to focus on for folks working in and around agriculture. It's a really important topic.
Hold on. 26 years. I've always thought that this was a fairly new position and discussion going on at NDSU. What's evolved over that time since you first got to NDSU and what we're seeing today in our farmers and ranchers?
Yeah, I think what has changed is the nature of attention given to this particular topic. We've always seen some attention given to it during periods of elevated farm stress or farm crisis times, but really over the last decade, because of a variety of conditions, whether it's weather concerns like continuing drought, or can be on the other end too much moisture, or tariff wars, or just a lot of things that affect well-being in agriculture, I think there's been more sustained attention. And then the U.S. Department of Agriculture, starting about 6 or 8 years ago, started to put funding available that could be accessed for specific projects and educational programs and other efforts to mitigate the effects of farm stress and to increase mental health awareness and education for agricultural populations. And so I think it's becoming a topic that people recognize is of critical importance. We tend to have higher, more elevated levels of stress in agriculture. And so people recognize it's just something that needs to be a mainstream topic, and we need good strategies and resources for dealing with it.
Well, let's start thinking about some of those strategies and resources. One of the things that's happened most recently here in North Dakota certainly has been the wildfires in the western part of the state affecting a number of our counties. Where has NDSU fit into the after effects of that and the help that they're able to provide to folks in that region, not just in the farm, but maybe in just the rural communities too?
Yeah, that's a great question. One of the great elements of NDSU Extension is that we happen to be present in all counties in the state of North Dakota. We have local county offices, and we have local county extension agents on the ground who are partners in those communities to provide education, to do assessment, to assist citizens with particular needs. For example, extension staff have been involved in assessment of livestock losses and helping people to connect with programs that are available through USDA or FSA or other sources. And so extension really plays a role of facilitating and engaging citizens with educational resources or supports that might be available to them in a variety of ways. And it can be directly on the side of, helping with particular aspects of an ag operation, but also with promoting overall wellness for individuals, families, and communities. And that's where my work tends to come in. The natural disasters and wildfires that were occurring in western North Dakota, of course, were severe and a strain on those farm and ranch operations, the communities, the first responders that were involved. And so we offer educational resources and support that people can engage in and hopefully help them in that recovery process as they go forward.
as we think about some of the things that were happening out in Western North Dakota, I heard you mention visiting with their extension service. But what if people aren't coming into the extension offices? Are the agents going out and reaching to the communities and coming through the schools or the fire departments or anything like that?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. We've had our extension staff on the ground engaged with county emergency managers, engaged in the community and how they can respond in a supportive way. And so that might vary a little bit based on the particular community or the segment of the community that you're working with. And so, for example, we have a variety of educational resources that can be distributed in those communities kind of after things have settled down a little bit, but people are continuing to have conversation about how do we adjust. And so we have sent educational resources to all of those affected counties, and our extension staff are looking at ways that they can share educational resources. Sometimes it's just a simple thing like a brochure on stress and wellness. Sometimes it'll be, you know, going on and working with local media. It'll be other things. So they're kind of just adapting to the needs of the community based on what segment of the population they're working with, and or if they need to work with particular farming operations that have been affected. So that's some of what we've been doing so far.
Well, I think there's a lot more to the programs that NDSU has to offer through what you're doing, Dr. Brotherson, and we're going to talk about that when we return. So please stay tuned. We'll come back with our guest host, Marcia Van Leer, and our guest, who's Dr. Sean Brotherson. He's with NDSU. We're talking about mental health in rural communities, particularly out in Western North Dakota, and more. Be right back. Okay, well, there's just a minor fix to that, and it's Bridget Riedel and Marcia Van Leer today, because Marcia's kind enough to help me out as we visit with our guest today, and that's Dr. Sean Brotherson. He's with North Dakota State University Extension and so forth services. I say so forth because they have such a big scope that they cover with extension. And Marcia, what do you got going on for questions over there? I know that you're very familiar with some of the programs at NDSU as well.
So I guess one of my main questions, Dr. Brotherson, is how can NDSU or maybe Extension or even 4-H help some of these kids that went through some of these wildfires, you know, with the livestock loss, just the loss of structures, anything like that? What resources are out there for maybe some parents to help with their children?
Yeah, that's a great question, Marcia. Thanks for asking it. I think probably the first item we released on social media from my area of extension was a little bulletin called that's talking to your kids during times of natural disaster. And, you know, life can feel pretty out of control when your family is affected by a natural disaster, or your community is affected by a natural disaster. And even if you are not directly affected by it, if it's something that happened in or around your community or region, kids may hear about it at school. They may hear about it as someone talks with a neighbor. They may be exposed to it by hearing things on the radio or television. And so it's really common for them to have anxieties and concerns about just the effects and what's going to happen. Often their schedule may get altered or upset a little bit during the time of a natural disaster. And so coming back to a normal rhythm might be a little bit challenging, although that's very important for them. Probably the biggest need that children, you know, from age 0 to 18 experience is needing a sense of security in their environment. And they depend on that through routines that happen in the home environment, things they can just depend on, and also the reassurance of the caregivers in their life. And so I'd say the two most important things are to try and construct some regular routine that they can depend on to be able to go through the rhythms of every day. And the second is Children need to be listened to. Their concerns or their anxieties need to be heard, and the adults in their lives need to provide reassurance that, that they're supported, they're protected, that things are going to be okay. And so those two things are essential. And then beyond that, you want to help kids focus on, this is not just for kids, but adults, help them focus on the things that they can control. For example, if you're raising livestock and, you know, they were running from the flames of those wildfires, you didn't have any control over where those flames were going, but you can, you know, have some control in the aftermath of, okay, how are we going to proceed forward? And part of that might be needing to deal with a little bit of loss and grief. That's a part of life, and it's important for adults to help guide kids as they go through that kind of experience as well, and be open to what kind of thoughts or questions they may have related to that. So those are just a few of the things that are recommended in our bulletin on that subject, and that we'd encourage families to consider.
Cool. That's awesome. I guess I have another question for you. Looking through some of the resources that you had sent, I saw a mental health first aid class. What does that entail, and how is that available to the community? Is it, you know, just to first responders? Is it to first responders, clergy? Is it to the whole community? What does that all entail?
Yeah, that's a great question. We actually offer a range of educational offerings on the topic of mental health awareness. And so mental health first aid is one of those. We typically do that one in partnership with First Link, which is the organization that handles crisis line response as well as community referral. So when you call the number 211 in the state, First Link handles that, but they're also involved in this kind of education. And so we partner with them through a grant from the U.S. Department of Agriculture to offer mental health first aid training anywhere in the state. It is open to anybody who's interested, Marcia and Bridget, and either of you could attend. In fact, I think Bridget has been to a mental health first aid training here on the eastern side of the state, if I remember correctly. But any community can request it. And so it's basically a six-hour training that you show up and participate in, and you learn about signs and symptoms of potential mental health concerns, might be anxiety or depression, and also how to respond appropriately to that, how to make a referral to professionals who can support someone. And so it's very useful for first responders and others in the community, but it's really available to anyone who's interested in that topic. We also have training that we offer specifically on suicide prevention, what's called the QPR suicide prevention program, which we can do in person or virtually in a community through our trained extension staff. We have a number of folks on the western side of the state who are trained and have been offering that. And then we also have as well some other programs that are focused on stress management and wellness and agriculture that we can offer. So we have a variety of things that are available.
You know, you're right. I did take one of the mental health first aid classes, and I really enjoyed that. That comes with a resource book that I think is helpful, because we have to remember a few things. Not every situation in the rural areas is going to lead to suicide, but it does give us the basis of how to ask questions, who needs help, and how we can be a part of providing that. One of the things I want to ask, though, Dr. Brotherson, you mentioned 26 years in this area of expertise at NDSU. How much has the demand grown for what you provide?
Yeah, I think that the demand continues to grow. And I don't know necessarily, Bridget, that you know, I would say circumstances are significantly more challenging and therefore the demand has increased. I think what's happening is that there's greater awareness and acceptance of the need to pay attention to health and wellness as part of the landscape of what we are giving attention to in agriculture. And I often say that if you were to list all the assets on a farm or ranch operation, people might typically list things like livestock, equipment, land, seed, capital, you know, things like that. And those are important things. But actually, the most critical component of a farm or ranch operation is the health of the individuals working in that operation. And so my argument is that's your most important resource on a farm or ranch operation, or for anyone, whether you're working in agriculture or just in the community. And if that's your most important resource, because it allows you to get up and function every day, and your health is what you depend on to be resilient during times of stress, like a natural disaster or other stressful times. And so really prioritizing health, including your mental and emotional health, is a critical thing that you can do. And so I have been, I think, not just myself, but many others have been trying to send that message clearly. And I, you know, speak to a wide range of groups and work with a wide range of groups in agriculture. I just did something for the North Dakota Bankers Association, their lending conference and things like that. So I think there's just greater awareness and attentiveness to the value of giving priority to the health of our minds and our relationships as we work in agriculture. And so because of that, there's an increased demand for services and supports. And I think those services and supports are also increasing.
I would say that that's very true. And honestly, because of those increases, one of the things that you all have done at NDSU is you've provided some extension resources that you mentioned in our email exchange prior to today's interview. Do you want to highlight those or where folks can find them so that they know where to go get those resources that are being provided? One step is certainly talking to their local extension agents, but what can they find online and so forth?
Yeah. And I would reinforce what you just said. The fastest way to get in touch with our NDSU Extension resources on mental health and stress management and agriculture is talk to your local Extension contact, your county agent or any other Extension contact you have, and they can put you in touch with those things. We have a social media feed that's NDSU Extension that you can access on any social media platform. And we link to a lot of those things. We're putting out social media posts that link to those resources all the time. But I would say a couple of other easy things. You can Google search just NDSU Extension and farm stress. That'll take you directly to our resources page at NDSU. Regionally, we're part of a regional consortium that's providing resources on mental health and wellness in agriculture. And you can just go to farmstress.org, just farmstress.org on the internet. And we have a wealth of resources, not just from North Dakota, but Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, Kansas, all across this north central region. And then additionally, of course, in the state of North Dakota, there's ndresponse.gov. And we have tried to direct people to that resource so that we are blending with one voice where we try to send people to if they are looking for some resources in state, ndresponse.gov is a very good kind of one-stop resource for people to access information as well.
Boy, having all of those things at a fingertips reach is humongous. And so thank you for sharing those things with us. And again, this has been Dr. Sean Brotherson. He's with NDSU. And Dr. Brotherson, is there any last comments you want to make sure to make to our listeners? Because we have a great mix of rural and urban audience. And I know your services are not just for those of us in the farm community.
Yeah, they're for everybody in the state. Yeah, I will note in reference to this too, Bridget, like I mentioned, the U.S. Department of Agriculture has funded some farm and ranch stress response grants over the last 6 to 8 years. NDSU Extension has been the recipient of multiple grants. And as a result, we're partnering with providers in the community to enhance the resources and supports available in this area. So while NDSU Extension focuses on the educational side, for example, if someone is interested in counseling support, we have a partner provider, Together Counseling. And Together Counseling is available statewide. They do both in-person and telehealth counseling. And so you can be in the cab of your pickup truck, or you can be at your kitchen table. You can talk to those providers. These are counselors who are ag-informed providers. They either have experience working in farming in their background, or they're doing it currently. And so they understand the rhythms of agriculture and some of the particular stresses. And so you can get limited or no-cost counseling support through Together Counseling. And again, you can just contact your local extension agent, and they can go through my office and get a referral, or they can go to directly to Together Counseling, their farm-to-farm counseling program, and they can get those services here in the state of North Dakota. So I wanted to highlight that as a resource as well, and they do a great job.
Thank you for highlighting that. We really appreciate it. And again, all of the wealth of information that comes out of NDSU for this region is tremendous. So thanks for joining us today, Dr. Brotherson. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your afternoon.
Thank you. I hope you and Marcia have a great day as well. Thanks.
We will. Marcia and I are going to be back in just a few moments. We've got some headlines. And Marcia, I didn't even tell you about this in our prep today, but I have a surprise announcement that I want to make sure that we give out to youth across the region, and you can help me do it. So we'll be right back. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. Thanks for joining us today. And I have the privilege of being joined by our fill-in co-host today. I have Marcia Van Leer from Gowan Company joining me. So thanks for that, Marcia. And I even didn't even realize I was tucking in a little surprise for you today that you get to help me launch. Ready?
Yes.
Okay. So yeah, I see your excitement. If you're watching on the live stream, Marcia is thrilled. Okay. So here's what I'm going to do. I am opening up applications to students who are in 4-H FFA. So those are kids that are freshmen in high school. Some of them start in seventh grade, but I'm looking for freshmen in high school up until the time they age out when they're 21. Because in the new year, once a month, I would like to have an assistant ag director co-host. So that means we're going to pick a day in that month where that student comes on air. And they're literally you, Marcia. They're going to help read headlines, interview guests, do weather, all of the prep work. I need it to be a student who's relatively close to Fargo so they can drive and be in studio. I'll be in studio that day. And I think that it just gives a chance for kids who want to talk about ag communications another avenue to do it. So give me your feedback. What do you think about a project like this?
I think that's exciting. I mean, you know, we never had those opportunities growing up. So I think this is exciting. And plus you get another minion.
I do,
yes,
right?
I made a minion
now. Okay. So were you an FFA or 4-H kid?
I was both. So I was more active in 4-H than I was in FFA. We just, unfortunately, the advisor that we had was not awesome when it came to FFA. So I started out in 4-H prior to clover bud, when it was considered a clover bud. My mom and dad were both leaders in the club, and so I got drug along to the meetings and just got to go and exhibit and everything else. So, you know, my projects in 4-H were gardening. In fact, my dad was just up here this past weekend and reminded me that my first time in vegetable gardening, the judge asked me if we had weeds in our garden. And I said, boy, did we have weeds.
He was so excited that you shared. But it was fortuitous as your future became someone who ridded fields of weeds. See, that was your first step.
I was in 4-H for 12 years over in Minnesota. So I was, I'm trying to think of my projects were gardening. I did cooking a couple times, which, well, anyways, love to bake. I did shooting sports, which Minnesota had before North Dakota had. It was wildlife and shooting sports. So we did the weekend after Labor Day in Minnesota is always a state 4-H shoot, trap shooting, archery, all that fun stuff. I did hogs for a while until we got out of hogs. I did win Grand Champion Mark Abaro 1 year.
Ooh, look at that. But without knowing it, you're helping us wrap up National 4-H Month. That's October. And it's Porktober. So, yes. See, you got the 4-H in, you got the hogs in, and would high school Marsha have been willing to do something like this where she'd have come on air and been a fill-in co-host one day?
Oh, yeah, because high school Marsha was our chapter recorder.
Oh, see, that's perfect.
So, oh, yeah. High school Marsha would have been all over this.
Well, good. I'm looking forward to hearing from high school kids. I figure kids are maybe in school right now, so they might not be hearing this, but parents might be, grandparents, and I'm going to put the application on our website, our Facebook page for Weather and Ag and Focus, and they can find that and then go ahead and start sending those applications in to me. My email is ag@flagfamily.com. One other thing, though, that we should talk about, as we mentioned FFA, you noticed over the weekend through social media that FFA's convention was, their national convention was last week in Indianapolis. And you made mention to me this morning that you saw some things about how the state, North Dakota, did in competition. Any one of those stand out to you that you noticed over the weekend?
So the ones that stood out to me, Harvey FFA chapter did extremely well in ag business. I believe they took second overall.
And Harvey had gold individuals, high individuals as, yes, well, by the way. They had some folks that ranked right up there. Okay. Kenmare took fourth in which contest?
Parliamentary procedure, which I am very weak at.
Oh, that was Kildare. Kildare's FFA chapter. Fourth in the nation. That's my favorite contest. I am so proud of those kids.
There was, how many received their star degrees?
Oh,
let me look
their
here.
American degrees. There was like 17, yes, maybe. Okay.
So let's see here. So 15 received, awesome, their American degrees. Five of them from New Salem.
Congratulations to that chapter. That means that those kids earned their highest FFA degree in the organization as an active member. Outstanding. Very happy for those students. You know, one of the last headlines that we've got here, Marsha, to talk about was the fact that we just mentioned NDSU and Dr. Sean Brotherson, and what a great job NDSU's Extension Service does. We are really quite fortunate in this region to have the states doing the work that they do. Minnesota, University of Minnesota, is actually supplying a new seminar as well. It's for landlords, farmers, and agribusiness professionals, helping them negotiate fair land rental contracts. Farming is a pretty tough business these days. As someone in the ag industry, do you see this as a good project for folks to take this seminar?
You know, I really do, because as landowners get further away from agriculture, I think it's a great course for them to understand what's going on in the ag country. And I look at like my dad, who's a retired farmer. I think it would be a great course for him to take. So I think this is a great course for anybody, that some of these younger farmers, you know, how do they negotiate with some of these older landowners? I think it's great.
And they'll take it, yeah, from the University of Minnesota. Let me know if you need the email link. I'll get it to you. Have a great day.